Welcome back to another episode of Pick and Pod. This is WFUV Sports, this podcast covering all things NBA. I'm Nathan Rogers, joined by Hope Nolan and Frank Spaguzza. This week we'll have a full slate of topics, including the buzz around free agency, what's next for title contending teams, including the Knicks and the Nets, what's in their future, and even covering some of the summer league action so far. This will be our last episode, so this is our 2024-2025 season finale as we close into the year. But how are you guys doing?
Not too bad, Nate. No complaints. I've certainly had my slew of pain as a Bucks fan watching Damian Lillard take that injury and now being waived. So I've had my my share of hardship, but other than that, just enjoying a lot of the exciting buzz in Summer League.
Yeah, I'm also doing good. I had my letdown when Jason Tatum tore his Achilles, but now I'm just locked in for next year, enjoying my summer.
That's good. Yeah, I guess we're all feeling the letdowns this year. I'm a Warriors fan, so
Oh.
yeah, as you can imagine. Okay, so we're just gonna hop right into what's happening in free agency. Some notable things. Obviously, the Thunder signing their big three, they got them locked in. So just kind of kicking it to you guys, thoughts on that. Some people are saying, kind of slashing them for spending so much money on their core three and all of the new CBA first apron, second apron rules that kind of make it really hard for teams to maintain their core throughout a 5-year period. But other people are saying you got to lock in your young core to make sure you're staying in title contention. So I'm wondering what you guys think about that. Let's start with Frank.
Sure thing. I definitely think that point you said there about locking in a young core is definitely going to be crucial to their future plan. I think for the past several years, we watched the Thunder struggle. Obviously, with good coaching and good building blocks, they slowly built their way up to become the now reigning champions of the NBA. I see no reason for them to run away from the players that they've signed. They have their big man Chet downtown. He's making things happen while also making it rain from beyond the arc. You obviously have Shai, which I don't think there's much that needs to be said about that. I mean, Lord knows he took care of business in the pre and post season. So there's no competition there. And then also Jalen Williams, who is going to offer a lot of young, powerful shooting ability along with some power on the defensive side of the court. So I personally think that there is a lot of trust and belief in the team, in the organization over in OKC. So I think that we're going to be preparing for a quite a few years, if you will, of a thunderstorm, if you will. I believe that it was, while the Pacers certainly contended with them in the finals, I think it was from the get-go a thunder sort of run. I think that their plan from years ago to start fresh certainly worked in their favor about as good as it could have. And I think they're just going to try and keep this running for as long as possible. Like we were saying, they have that strong foundation, and I think that they will simply add new players. Lord knows they know how to draft. So definitely excited to see what new building blocks they add to this tower they have going on down there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I do think they overpaid though. I think that is so much money and just like long term, is that going to be worth it? And can you like maintain a team when you're paying your like main three by that much, like so much? But I don't know. I mean, I think they'll still have a great season with having them all three come back, and I just think that's a lot of money. Like the $250 million for 5 years, that's insane and just definitely an overpay, in my opinion.
Yeah, I definitely see both sides here. If I'm like in the Thunder front office, I'm still gonna sign these guys for that amount of money. With these new rules too, the salary cap goes up every year, and SGA's contract doesn't even kick in until like 2027. So you're looking at 2 full seasons with these young guys just getting better. Hope, you know, hopefully they stay healthy, this young core, but by that time, like Hartenstein, Dort, they'll all have like team options to be decided on. And Caruso will, you know, have been regressed by this time and his contract may be up. And those things can be replaced. But even with these, like the new CBA rules, the first apron, the second apron, like These three guys are taking up almost like 90 to 95% of their team salary cap. That is a lot, but when you really think about it, you can go above that. There's, you know, I don't know how willing their team is to go into the luxury tax and the like first apron and the second apron, but you got a $50 million cushion that you can really play around with between a 5-year period. And even with the SGA contract not kicking in for a few years, like that's really going to help this team. So I do think it is smart. I do think in like the modern NBA, if you want to call it, like if you think back like 20 years ago, the salary cap was like $45 million or like something close to that for one team, like 40 years ago or whatever. But now, or 20 years, right? But now it's like $150 million for one team. So when people are signing like $70 million contracts, it's the percentages are what people should be really looking at for kind of the progression of a team's contract. But yeah, I do think, especially coming off a title like that, I think they have a really bright future. They have a ton of draft picks. Their front office is really smart, so I think they have the brightest future in the NBA with these contracts. Another thing that happened that was like a really big deal is Miles Turner signing that 4-year deal, switching teams, especially with that Haliburton injury that was really ugly and going to be a whole thing for the Pacers to figure out. But what do you guys think about Miles Turner switching teams over to the Bucks? He said it's greener on the other side. He said my girlfriend likes me wearing green, so he's really excited. Hope, what do you think about what's going on with Miles Turner?
I mean, first off, his girlfriend liking wearing green, I think the WAG outfits are gonna be super awesome, and green's my favorite color, so I'm super excited for that. I mean, I think it's a good move. I think losing in the finals like that is such a tough like position to be in, and especially with an injury like that, like being on that team is super tough. So I think moving forward, the Bucks have had a good past couple years, but I think things are looking good for Miles Turner.
Oh, completely. I mean, I think I would have to agree with Hope there. I will say, though, I hope this isn't overdramatic, but I will say that this is probably a downturning point for the Pacers. I think that they have been in a mild contention state for the past several years. That could be my own personal bias as I've watched them pummel the Bucks the past several years. But I do think that they've also sort of made their stand in the East and been in a mild state of contention. And now to come as close as they have, but only to be shut down by injury and general decrease in morale. It generally showed that this Pacers team may be now moving to the bottom of the leaderboard. But Miles Turner specifically, he's moving to the Bucks. He's quoted as it's to stay competitive, which again is another nod to the fact that the Pacers may have lost their edge there in the end, especially losing Haliburton. However, I do believe that to have a leader exit your team and to join another one that has been, and this is the Bucks I'm speaking of, one that has been, again, struggling, missing some pieces, dealt with injury. I think it's going to be a big upturn for the Bucks and for Miles Turner. So this is going to be a major win-win for both parties, I would argue.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Like, this is a win-win for an organization that needs to win now. I think the Bucks need to get going. I think Miles Turner is going to be a great fit next to Giannis, even with the buzz around Giannis, right? You know, because he hasn't really won yet. You know, he's an elite player, but he doesn't really have that help around him that other superstars in the league have. I think Turner is going to really help around the rim for this team. Rebounding is something that the Bucks really need. Because Giannis is usually that guy, right? But you know, you got to have someone next to him doing that. Rivers, Doc Rivers said that, you know, if you sit down before free agency started and draw the perfect fit next to Giannis, it's him. It's Miles Turner. And they were really excited about this. And Miles Turner said that there were some like quote alignment issues with the Pacers, so he didn't really want to get into that. But I'm sure the Haliburton thing and all of the roster movements you're gonna have to look at. It's not really the best position for a rising star like Miles Turner is. And do you guys think that this team would be a title contender with him. How does their playoff like sightseeing look now with Miles Turner joining that team, and how does it affect the Pacers too?
Well, honestly, I not to beat the dead horse here, I'll spend a second on it. I do think it'll heavily affect the Pacers. I think losing a defensive juggernaut like that is going to be a real kick in the you know what. However, for the Bucks, you were completely right, Nate. Like, this is an incredible player that one, maybe not many would have thought to put next to Giannis at first, but I'm totally seeing the vision there. There's two sides of the basket, you know what I mean? And you're going to need another guy on the other. Giannis has been overstrained, especially on defense after the loss of Jrue Holiday. So I think to not only replace him with a defender, but one as superb as Miles Turner is going to definitely carry the Bucks farther. We saw them, oh, hurts my heart. We saw them definitely get scored on far too heavily in the postseason this year, primarily by Indiana. It was a total, it was despicable from beyond the arch. They were unable to play defense from any end of the hoop. So I think to have a little bit more security in the paint is going to be crucial to making them a more future-oriented team to prepare to go in that uptrend with Giannis as he continues to develop in his prime. My point is that they're both going to nurture each other's growth, and we could maybe see, hopefully, wishful thinking, another championship run. But again, far too early to call it.
Yeah, definitely too early to call it, but I mean, they just won back in 2021. Like, they can still taste that, what it feels like to win, and I think this is going to be good long term, but I don't think they're going to win this year for sure, or next year, I mean, but you know.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And kind of pivoting to another star that signed a big deal is Devin Booker. And Charles Barkley called him out saying he's going to make $70 million a year to dribble a stupid basketball. He's the luckiest dude in the world. Especially with KD leaving that kind of a catastrophe of a Suns team. They didn't live up to their expectations with that superstar core. Devin Booker's really immersed with that new look of the Suns team. And he's getting his money. So what do you guys think about Devin Booker signing that deal and kind of helping that Suns team kind of look fresher and newer going into the next season?
Definitely a good deal by the Suns. Rally the Valley all the way. They had such a good run and things were going so good. Like 2021, I was at those games. I was waving around the towel. I was having a blast. And then they lost in the finals, and that totally was not fun at all. But I think that they need him. And so, especially losing KD, I don't think KD did as much for the Suns as we thought he was going to do. So keeping Devin Booker is 100% the move. He's like the face of the franchise, and $70 million is not a bad deal. I would sign right now also.
I was going to say hope. I think he's got it pretty well made. And that point about him being the face of the franchise, the day that Devin Booker does decide to retire or anything of the like, that rafter will be hung so high and will be so well lit in the Phoenix arena. So, I mean, the point of him being the face is an understatement, honestly. I mean, he has been through, obviously, through the initial those runs where they were defeated in the finals to just recently where they had the superstar Kevin Durant just now exit. I do think that catastrophe was the right word choice for the Kevin Durant Suns. I don't think, my own personal belief, I don't believe that he really wanted to be there. I think going from, I mean, Brooklyn and Golden State and all these sort of high caliber and large city teams to head down to the Southwest, no disrespect, but I do believe that it may have been out of his wheelhouse. Besides that, I think that the Suns are just now prioritizing stability. I think they were in a little bit over their head trying to sign a superstar of that caliber. And so now, after the historic seven-team trade, they've acquired some picks and some young stars, and while also having some more cap space. So I think that this Suns team is getting ready to build around Booker and preparing for his prime, if he hasn't already been in it. But regardless, these are going to be some interesting times for Phoenix. I mean, the roster moves, obviously, the Bradley Beal buyout has been a very tricky handicap, if you will, for the team. So I believe that they're in a state now, and especially this next season, will be overcoming some of their over commitments is the word I'm looking for. I think they, like I said, were in over their head on a few different deals, and now they're planning to backtrack, restabilize, and make Devin Booker a surrounded, well-equipped superstar.
For sure. Yeah, I agree with what all like what you guys said, and it just makes sense. I would definitely take that 70 million. That Suns team's always been an interesting team, right? They got so many good players, and then they were promised so much, and then it kind of fell apart. But they were always right up there, right? Like they missed a playoff a couple times, but they were up there in that postseason a couple years ago, and they definitely proved they have the stamina to keep going. Another player that's kind of seen the news headlines all this week is Dame. And maybe Frank can speak on this. It's just a really interesting thing because no one really knows what's going on, and he was waived and stretched by the Bucks. Really a shocking move to create cap space for a team that signed Miles Turner. We just talked about that shortly ago. And he's a potential target for quite a few contenders. And even like there's things, always friends with people on Boston, things like that. Maybe Hope can talk about that too. And but like especially with an injury like what Dame suffered, right? And like even like a team now, like the Celtics have to deal with Tatum being sidelined due to that Achilles injury. What do you guys think about those title contenders looking at Dame and what the future could look like for Lillard?
Well, honestly, and like you said, I definitely do have to say a word because it did break my heart. I remember years ago before he signed, I remember thinking, we need a 3-point shooter in Dame's contract. He's done in Portland. Get him to Milwaukee. And then he came and it was supposed to be this big thing. And obviously, it did in fact implode. So I think right now it's going to be very tricky for the Bucks to manage this money. Obviously, with such a big signing of the big man, Miles Turner. It's going to be definitely tricky and an interesting draft. Obviously, that's very far away, but I think financially that they are in some murky waters. They're paying out, I mean, over $100 million over the next several years just to free up that cap space. So it's definitely going to be interesting. And obviously, it's unpredictable where he will go or what he might do. But I do think that as he's beginning to age, he's known around the league as a, in my opinion, a clutch time spot up shooter and a playoff season veteran. So teams that are looking for this kind of player have a young core or trying to develop something from beyond the arc. And so to have some flexibility, I think Lillard's in a very good place. I think that he's going to be financially secure while also just taking his time to rehab and make sure that he's fully healed. Obviously, that injury was, I mean, devastating to say the least. So, if I had to pick the plan for Lillard, I would say sit out this season potentially, reap in your rewards, and survey all of your options. As like I said, the value that he holds to the league is still very high. So, I think he needs to take some time, consider his options, and make the best choice for him.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. It's awesome to be in a position that you can just kind of focus on your recovery and not have to worry about where you're going to next. I do think the Celtics would be lit, though. That would be super awesome. And especially like him and Tatum, like if they're coming back towards the end of the season, I think that could be a game changer. They've played together before. They played together on Team USA back in maybe 2020. So they know how each other play. They obviously play well together. And so I think towards like the end season going into the postseason, it would be great to have them two back on the court together.
Yeah, those are good points. Yeah, I don't want him to go to Boston though, because I'm a Warriors fan, so I don't want you guys reaping any of those rewards. Especially with Dame being from Oakland, so I'll just say that those are my 2 cents. Let's bring it back to before we clicked record, we were talking about how we're all in different areas of the country right now, all different time zones. So it's kind of hard to find a time to do this, but luckily we did. But we're gonna bring it back to New York. So this is a WFUV sports podcast. So we're going to talk about the Knicks and the Nets. The Knicks, what's going on with them? Jordan Clarkson, got that 1 year, like $4 million deal. He's a up and coming guy. You know, I like him. He was good. And the Knicks had a really fun season. Like the vibe of last year for the Knicks was fun. Like, yes, they had to deal with like kind of coaching woes and Brunson being played like 38 minutes a game, really. And it just kind of sometimes the Knicks fans were upset. But I mean, I was there like right outside MSG when they won that one game. And like it was crazy, like in that one series, like, and like over in the playoffs. But just trying to see what you guys think about what the Knicks are looking at this offseason. What do they need? Obviously, they need some bench scoring. They need some width in that department. That was kind of something they needed to lean on, in my opinion. They lean too much on the starters and not on the bench. So they need some minutes from the bench there. So what do you guys think the Knicks really need to do to keep them up on that kind of A slash S1 tier of the league, really, what they were in last year?
Well, honestly, I mean, I definitely think that while certainly there are changes that need to be made, that could be made, but honestly, I think maintaining is going to be one of the best bets for the Knicks. As you said, they had an explosive, fun to watch season with good depth while also having great starters. But as you said, Brunson especially overworked and definitely over relied upon. So I think to re-sign this Jordan Clarkson, I mean, if I had to describe him, I would call him a veteran that scores off the bench. Very simply put, obviously. But regardless, he's providing instant offense and is a great backup for Jalen Brunson when, like you said, he's playing these 30, almost 40-minute games. That's strenuous, and I don't think we'll be able to be repeatable. I don't think that strategy is going to be easy on anyone's body in that starting five out in New York. So, but at the same time, I do feel like this can feel like a last push in some sort of way. I think that as hard as it is for me to say, Julius Randle's future may sort of hang in the balance of this team. I think that in some of the games, there was definitely some underperformance and some call out by fans, undoubtedly. So I think to have a wonderful supporting guard such as Clarkson is going to be the key to the Knicks next year, and having support for their superstars such as Brunson and Ananobi, also while having Hart and DiVincenzo from beyond the arc. I think these building blocks is what's going to push them to that spot that they were in this year, and hopefully take them farther.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think they're building up. I don't think they are where they need to be to win a championship quite yet. And I think it's also hard to determine, like, Jason Tatum got hurt in that game. Would they have won? I would like to say they wouldn't have won. But I don't know. I can't speak on that. But I think they're building in the right direction, but I don't think it's quite where it needs to be for next season.
Yeah, I agree. I think they need a little bit more, especially with their cap limits. I don't know how much, like, I don't know how much they can really spend. I do like the addition of Mike Brown coaching this team. I really did like. I think the coaching last year got a lot of hate. It did work, and to some extent. Right, they made it really far, but I think an internal development will really pay dividends for this team. I think coaching was a thing that they really needed, especially with like Brunson at the helm and everyone else like Hart and all those guys. Like they need to lean on the bench more and not really rely on their starters as much. And declining that PJ Tucker option really gives them some relief of like $4 or $5 million or whatever it was. And they're still under that first apron of those financial kind of restrictions, so I think they'll be okay. And then kind of moving over to Brooklyn, kind of in a blockbuster trade from Denver, Michael Porter Jr. Is now really going to be the leader of the offense for the Nets. Sharp returns on a 2-year, $12 million deal, so he's going to be in the front court. He's going to call Brooklyn home there. And then, really, they rank first in cap space, so they're free to really chase whoever they want. They've really been tied to Jonathan Kuminga a lot. He's kind of in a a rift with the Warriors. The Warriors insider says he's probably going to return. There's a big question mark there, but Kuminga's a really up and coming big talent. So I think the Nets should really pursue Kuminga. But what do you guys think about the Nets? Obviously, they had a subpar season, to say it nicely, last year. But what do you guys think about the future of the Nets? What they could do in free agency? They have all this money, and kind of who do you guys think they should target coming up?
Honestly, I think the Nets are just as lost as to who to target as I am. I think that this season, again, like you said, trying to put it nicely, was kind of a burn and turn. I think there was a lot of confusion both on the court and in the front office. While Kuminga would certainly be a great addition, there hasn't been a ton of interest. I mean, teams like Chicago, Miami, even New Orleans were projected. Or were reported to have expressed interest. So he seems to be a generally desired individual. However, it doesn't appear as though Brooklyn or many other teams are really gunning for this guy. So I think that could actually be a steal for the Nets. I think you bring up a great point, Nate. I think he could really get away with some good money there and actually make some playing time. However, I also think players like Cam Thomas, obviously. I mean, there's a whole financial fiasco going on there with him. So I think that the Nets, I think honestly, not to sound pessimistic, but this season is going to be another dreary one for Brooklyn. I think that they are still having to work through some revenue issues. I think, Lord knows, it's starting to be a while ago now, but I think they're still reeling a little bit from their Kyrie Irving, KD, Harden super team. And again, definitely a while ago, but I think that they were so built up on that that they're trying to restructure a mindset now. So definitely interesting. I'll definitely be glued to their news and notifications. But until then, I'm just not sure if I have a best guess for them, but maybe Hope can help me out.
No, I mean, you both said it perfectly. I feel like you can't, with the Nets, you can't quite put your finger on the problem, but like, you know, there is one. And it's so obvious, like, on and off the court. I just think there's a lot of building that needs to be done, and I don't see it being done by 2026.
Yeah, I agree. The Nets just they need an overhaul. Really, they need a complete overhaul. They really need to just flip that roster upside down. I think they're starting to get there. I think they're beginning to really get up there. But in terms of like front office and coaching, I think it just needs an overhaul. So that's gonna do it for us for with the New York section. Before we wrap here, we're gonna quickly go over kind of what's going on in the summer league. I think it's important with all these up and coming rookies in terms of Cooper Flagg, all these other guys, to kind of touch on what's going on with them. So the number one pick, Cooper Flagg, passed the eye test as the primary offensive creator for the Mavericks. I think that his time there, he got shut down after two games. They don't they don't they he passed the test. So although he did have a poor shooting effort in the opener, he was 5 of 21. He really just like spaced open the floor. Like if you go back and watch all those highlights in the games like of the summer league, he's just opening up the floor and pass just dishing the ball. And he had that game winning assist in the second game. He had that block. Like he's really just helping out that team. And he's only 18 years old. Like that's insane. He's 18. And it just feels weird. Like I'm 2 years older than him and I feel like super young and he's 18. He's like in the summer league, number one pick. But he was so good on Duke and I think he's going to be great for this Mavs team. What do you guys think from summer league? Kind of pros and cons from, especially for Flag so far.
I mean, I think he did great. I think that's like being number one, all eyes are on you. Like the prices that those tickets were going for is literally insane. Like the lights are bright, and I think he did a great job for those being his like debut games. Obviously, anyone's gonna be pretty nervous, but I think the way he spoke about those games, he seemed kind of down on himself and like they weren't that good, but there's so much room for improvement. But I think that being your starting point is definitely not a bad place to be at all.
I definitely agree. I mean, I definitely think that fear is not only normal but expected, especially out of a number one pick of his caliber. I mean, Lord knows the whole nation was talking about some of those Duke games. And so to just finally switch over to the NBA, I think there is, while admittedly happy to acknowledge the fear and the potential for, things to go south. I think right now, though, Dallas is definitely scared. They know, and scared in a good way, that is. They know they have a superstar. They know that he is young as all get out with, I mean, the sky is the limit for him, but they don't want to lose that. I mean, I think they've been sent reeling from the Doncic trade and the backfire from all that. I think that definitely played into their decision to rest him for the rest of the summer league. And who knows, maybe he'll, pop out once more, but the general consensus has been that he will be, showcased in the fall. So for right now, I think that they're clutching tight to their players to try and see what they can come up with for this upcoming season. But in the meantime, they, I think, are going to work with him this summer, make sure that he's both ready for the court and in the head. I think that's going to be a very important part of his game, that sports psychology aspect. But I think having AD down there and a great fan base as they do is going to really help propel him to the next level this upcoming season.
Yeah, I agree, and it's definitely, I mean, it's such a godsend thing after the Luka trade to get a player like Cooper Flagg. I mean, like that, it just, if you're a Mavs fan and you wanted to go 6 feet under, this is your reason to not, right? Like the Cooper Flagg coming on your team is great. I think he's amazing. He might be one of the best, if not the best player to come from Duke. Like this is the amount of hype that this kid is getting, right? And he's 18, so he's got a whole road ahead of him in the NBA. But for Hope Nolan and Frank Spaguzza, I'm Nathan Rogers. That's going to wrap it up for us on the season finale episode of Pick and Pod for WFUV Sports. And this is a production of WFUV Sports. Thank you for listening.